welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, good morning again. Welcome. Good to have each one of you here with us this morning. We're going to go ahead. I love the songs we were singing about this morning, just about the goodness of God, that song about just the goodness of God running after me. You know, I'll tell you what, there's just something about when you get the right perspective of God and God's love for you. Those songs are really well, I think, kind of in theme with where we're going this morning as we minister the word. Jesus is telling his disciples something about prayer. He's saying in John chapter 16, he said, "In that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you shall ask in my name, and I do not say that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father, and you have come into the world, and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." These are almost some parting words that Jesus is having with his disciples, because at this point, he's very close to getting ready to go to the cross. But he's letting them know in no uncertain terms, he was saying, until now, in verse 24, "You've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." You got to understand that up until this time, Jesus had this really amazing relationship with the Father. He'd keep referring to the Father with his disciples. The Father in me, he does the works. I say what I hear the Father say. I do what I see the Father do. Actually, just a few chapters earlier than this, Philip says, "Show us the Father. Just show us the Father. We'll be satisfied." Jesus has this invisible relationship with the Father that they can't see, that he continually references, which is why he does everything he does. It's the power in his life. It's the direction for his life. It's this invisible relationship that he has with the Heavenly Father. And they're just so intrigued by this. And think about this. You got Jesus right there in your midst doing all these things. And it's just like, we want to see the Father. Obviously, Jesus' life has brought glory to the Father in such a way that they are intrigued and they want to see the Father. And just before he's, again, about ready to go to the cross, he tells them something very special. He says, "Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you receive, that your joy may be full." And he goes on to say, he says, "In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you've loved me and believed that I came forth from God." So in other words, he's saying, this relationship that you've seen me modeling with the Father is the same relationship you're going to have with the Father. He said, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it you." In other words, what you've seen me have is something you're going to have. This is actually why he's going to that cross, to die for our sins, to redeem us, to be able to walk and talk and have the same kind and quality of relationship with the Heavenly Father that he has. But in verse 27, he says, "For the Father himself loves you." And I think when he said that, I would have just loved to been, I wish I could see the bubble above the disciples' heads when he said that. The Father himself loves you. Because they were thinking Jesus, and Jesus is kind of the key to the Father. But he's kind of changing the paradigm up so strongly here. He says, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, you're gonna talk directly to the Father in my name, for the Father himself loves you." He wants them to know one thing, bottom line: you are loved by the Father. you're loved. The Father himself loves you. Of course, we know the scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. This morning, I want to just take a look at, and just really, I want to take a look at a very simple truth this morning, and the title of the message is simply, you are loved. Okay? You are loved. There's one thing you can know for sure, and that is that you are loved. We know that, again, like we said before, you're loved as a sinner. Luke 9:1-5, when Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, and he was of a short stature, so he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass by that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. So one thing that we know about our Heavenly Father is that he loved us while we were sinners. In fact, there was another occasion where Jesus went into the house. We know that Matthew was a tax collector, and there was a time when he went and he actually sat down to a meal with some of Matthew's friends and got in trouble for that because he was eating with publicans and sinners. But of course, Jesus said, hey, man, I didn't come for the well people. A doctor comes for sick people. We see in Romans 5:6-8, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's just something that there's a truth here this morning that I just want to get across. You are loved, okay? You are loved. You are loved by God. You are loved dearly by God. In fact, the scripture says, if we're faithless, he remains faithful. He can't deny himself. You are loved by God. And think about this. While we were sinners, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were in these mortal bodies, and the Bible says we were, talking in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul saying, you were by nature children of wrath. You know, so we were, even when our natures were wrong, when our natures were bad, while we were sinners, he loved us. I try to wrap my mind around that. God, perfect, amazing God, and he sees us, these creatures. Yet one thing that's about us that's unique is that we're made in the image of God. In the beginning, he said, let us make man in our image, and male and female created he them. And even though we were fallen, we're in his image. That's a profound thought. Because I'm redeeming those guys. I love them, even though they're corrupt through and through. You know, I mean, we fell. He said, and that day you eat that fruit, and that day you eat it, you'll surely die. We died on the inside. We were separated from God. But we were so loved by God that he came to die for us. Here's something. If you take the person who loves God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, all their strength, they believe God, going on for God, and the person who absolutely thinks religion is a joke, it's a farce, give me a break, there's no God, the biggest God-hating, God-denying atheist in the world, these two people have something in common. They're both loved. They're both deeply loved with the same love. That love doesn't start. It doesn't start with what I believe. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God, and we've known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. We love him because he first loved us. And sometimes it's just important for me, I guess I got to go back and just kind of get stirred up in the fact that, you know what, man, I am loved. Whoever in the natural, as far as people in relationships and things like that, you know, you are loved. You are loved, perfectly loved by God. And I'll tell you what, that is, you were loved by God while you were a sinner. You were loved by God. What is the title of the message this morning? It's You Are Loved. No matter what your background is, no matter who you are, no matter where you've come from, you are loved by God. Carla let the cat out of the bag a few weeks ago and the announcements that my son-in-law happens to be a New England Patriot fan. Even New England Patriot fans are loved by God. I asked the Lord, I said, boy, you know, Lord, what are the odds? My Brazilian son-in-law would be a... He said, actually, very good odds compared to a Wisconsin boy growing up in a Packer home becoming a Miami Dolphin fan. That's the bigger odds, you know. But, yeah, I know. So, but, you know, no matter what, no matter where you come from, no matter your background, here, the big deal, the big hot button topic, tax collectors. That was kind of like the wow. If you're a tax collector, I can't even imagine. Yeah. He came to seek and save that which is lost. In fact, it's important when Jesus was talking to the different churches, he said, you know, stir up your first love. Stir up your first love. Isn't it amazing that the joy of your salvation, the thing that you experience initially when you just come to Christ, is just the fact that God loves me. You haven't had time to go through a bunch of stuff. You haven't had time to go through a bunch of things or even have a bunch of why God questions at this point. All you know is he loves you. And there's something about that, and that's good enough. And as long as I know that God loves me, and he's with me, and he's for me, I'm good. And there's just something about going back and stirring that back up. You are loved. 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 That's one thing you know for sure. You may not know what you're going to do next, but you can know that you are loved, regardless of whatever you do next. You're loved. God wants us to know that. He is love. He is for us. He loves us as sinners. He could look at us when we were hating God. I mean, the guy that actually God used to bring me to Christ, Nikki Cruz, was born in a satanic home. I mean, the stories that he would tell about his childhood and upbringing and the horrific things. His dad was a warlock. I mean, just hideous. And God saved that little Nikki Cruz one day in the streets of New York City. And he came to seek and save that which is lost. There is nobody that is beyond God's saving. There's nobody that's beyond God's care and love. Man, sometimes I just think about that. You know, even in, I'm going to kind of bring it to the next point here. Not only am I loved, you were loved as a sinner, but you're loved as a child. Behold the manner of love the Father's bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world doesn't know us because it didn't know him. Beloved, now we're the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he's revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. One of the things that I think, you know, as a believer, I've really had to kind of keep straight in my heart is just the fact that as a child of God, God loves me. He loves me. He still loves me as a child of God. I can wrap my mind around the fact He loves sinners. He came, Jesus died on the cross for sinners, raised up. But as a child of God, that love of God stays with me. In other words, that love of God I don't change from, okay, I was a sinner, God loved me, he had mercy on me, now I'm living for him to try to keep up in the good graces. You know what I mean? Where I'm trying to perform to keep that love going, to keep this good thing that I got started. No, 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 no. There is the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon me. He didn't just love me as a sinner. He loves me as his child. He loves me right now, just as his child. That same unconditional love, that same unmerited grace that I can't strive and earn for as a sinner, I still can't strive and earn as a child of God. It's just there. You're not just loved as a sinner, as an unbeliever. You're loved as a child of God. You're loved right now, right in the middle of your project, right in the middle of your to-do list, right in the middle of what you're going for, right in the middle. Right now, you are loved. Right now, you can stop and say, it's not contingent, it's not dependent on what I do next or this success or that thing. You're just loved right now. Behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called. It's right, it's proper, the sons of God. For as many as received him, it says in John, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Man, beloved, now, in these mortal bodies that are fighting me, now, we are children of God. Praise God. One of these days, this mortal will put on immortal. Praise God. But we know that right now, we are the children of God. That's where we are right now. You can say, I am a child of God. In fact, the Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. And so, Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 says, seeing then we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is not written to the unbeliever. This is written to the children of God. This is written to those who have already called Jesus their great high priest, who come before him. It says, we have a high priest who cannot, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize. In other words, we do have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. Sympathize. I love that wording. When I come before God, I'm coming before somebody who's sympathetic. Now, that's not condoning. You know, that's not saying, oh, it's okay. I get it. No problem. Not at all. But he understands. He's been touched with the feeling. He knows what that pull is like. He's been tempted in every point, was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Praise God. He passed every test. It's what made his blood perfect. It's what made him our redeeming Savior. But at the same point, he came in the likeness of sinful flesh, and he experienced our human condition. So that as a child of God, I can go before him. He can say, I get it. I know it. I understand. I know what you're going through. And I love you. I'll tell you, there's nothing in the world like knowing that you're loved. Just that you're loved right now. Not after you do that. Or you make that. Or you get that done. No, right now you're loved. And that's something the Heavenly Father wants us to know right now too. We're loved now. Yeah, we're growing. Yeah, we're overcoming. We're dealing with things, but we're loved right now. And it's important for us to be able to stop and say, thank you, Lord. You love me right now. There's no striving in this love. There was no striving before the cross. All I could do is call upon your name, and there's no striving for it after the cross. That same unconditional love. It takes humility. Religion and human nature and pride wants to work for it, wants a sense of accomplishment, but God won't give us that sense. There's fruit that you can bear in his name, and there's rewards that you can even get for your fruit. You'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and God will reward you for those deeds that you did in the body, but none of those rewards will be his love. So you got to keep that separate. You are loved right now, today, whether you're having a good day or a bad day. You're loved right now in his love. That hasn't changed. He is love, and he loves you right now, and he wants you to know that today. And he wants you to rest in that today. that you are loved by Him. That throne of grace is there for you. That's the 24/7. He'll leave the light on for you. Throne of grace that's just always there. Where there's mercy. I love it the way this is phrased. Where there's mercy, obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That is so good. But there is love. His love is there. And so I guess what I want to just, get across there too is, as a child of God, that's it. There was a song that came out several years ago, a song that when I heard it, I thought, wow, this really just captures. It's a song that's simply called Dependence. It says, "This is the life I've always wanted, to know the Prince of Peace, to feel my faith restored as your grace surrounds me. This is the day of new beginnings. This is where my freedom starts. And now death has lost its sting. And Jesus, how can I thank you? Just to know that you love me gives me hope to carry on. What can this world do to me? No, just to know that you're with me. All these roads I've traveled on. When all I have is gone, I confess my dependence on you. There is a lightness in my laughter. There's a joy inside my soul. My heart is overwhelmed. And Jesus, how can I thank you? Just to know that you love me gives me hope to carry on. What can this world do to me? No, just to know that you're with me. All these roads I travel on, when all I have is gone, I confess all my dependence on you, dependence on you. You're loved by God. That's a big deal. When you see it, when you believe it, when you know it. It was a big deal when you believed it the first time, got you born again, made you become a child of God. It's a big deal when you believe it as a child of God. It'll help get you reorientated back and get your hope back in Him. And regardless of what, people in the natural love or don't love you, it's His love for you that gives you the grace for everything else. It's an amazing thing how this cross could, step in between me and the sin that I committed against God. It's like it steps in there and it just absorbs everything I ever did wrong. It's an amazing thing. And the same cross can step in between you and the offenses that people have committed against you. And it can absorb that stuff. That same love. That's why it's important. That when just, the big thing about, being able to forgive and forgiveness and that, it's going to go back. God will draw you back to His love for you. It's like the guy Jesus told the story of the parable of the unforgiving servant. The guy forgave him $1 million, and then the guy goes on the street and starts strangling the guy that owed him $20. The thing that guy needed to do was he needed to remember the $1 million debt that he was forgiven. That's what he needed to do. If that could have been fresh in his mind, he wouldn't have been doing that. Somehow he lost track of that. If you're having a problem sometimes with forgiveness even and letting go of things, the first thing he won't do that. He'll lead you back here and say, I love you. I love you. He'll draw you back to that $1 million debt and go, thank you. Thank you for stepping in between me and absorbing all that. And then it's that person, okay, oh yeah, okay, even as, okay. But he loves me. God loves me. Why can I forgive? Because he loves me. He loves me. That's fresh in my heart. Fresh in my heart. Paul said here, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that he'll grant you, according to the riches of his grace, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Praise God. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The Apostle Paul was big about being big in your understanding the love of God. He prayed specific prayers that we would have a revelation of the vastness, that would grow, that would be a growing revelation on the inside of us. But just the fact that you're loved as a child of God. You're loved as a child of God. You're not rolling up your sleeves and working for God now that you're a child of God, you're working with God, you're loving God, but that his love for you isn't something you're working for. It's something that you've got. You've got as his very own child. If you're a parent, you know how that goes. You love your children. You just love your children. You have a supernatural love for your children. In fact, there's things you'll put up with in your own children you probably won't put up in other people's children because you're their parent and you love them. And that's a God-given love kind of a thing. You know, so you know that the way it is. Well, I'm telling you something. You're the child of God. Behold, now you're a child of God. There's stuff he puts up with you because he's your heavenly Father. He loves you and he's working with you. But I'm just to realize that that's something that can always continue to grow. Comprehend what is the width and the length and the breadth and the height. Man, there's just so much that goes back to knowing I'm loved by God. If I really know I'm loved and secure in his love, I'm loved by God. I'm loved by God. Praise God. That's where everything starts. I love because he first loved me. That's where my strength to love is. It comes back from going back to that $1 million debt and saying, wow, that's amazing. Thank you, thank you. Praise God, I believe it. As a child of God, I believe that right now, today, at this moment, I am loved by God. Nothing more. I tell you, there's just sometimes there's some things. I love that Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That's a good green pasture thought. Lie down in that one. Lie down and look up to the sky and say, I am loved by God today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's something about God. He just loves it when we believe his love, when we believe the love. There's something about that. The Apostle John, in fact, would refer to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Is that arrogant? Is that boastful? Peter might have thought so. Peter and John had a little ongoing thing between those guys, but we understand where John's coming from. The disciple whom Jesus loved. John knew he was loved by God. And that was, he just put that in his name. The disciple whom Jesus loved. I know I'm loved. What is he saying? I know that I am loved by God. I know that I'm loved by God. You are loved. You are loved. Let me see here. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Again, we kind of look at this verse, rightly so, and it's talking as you continue on, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you, is verse 32. But when we're looking at this, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, you'll notice it says let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. Sometimes the bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor that flies under the radar that we don't always realize can be a self-bitterness. It's wrong to stay mad at yourself. It's wrong to not receive the love of God. In fact, if you stay mad at yourself and beat yourself up and don't receive that love of God, it'll cause you to behave in a way that's self-destructive and hurtful. You know, there's a sense of self-worth and there's God-worth. And as we're looking at that self-worth and self, and I'm doing an analysis of my day and what I've done, and I can kind of do the accounting, you know, and come to a conclusion, I think this is what I deserve. And when I realize that I'm loved as a child of God, I got to go, well, no, wait, this isn't about self. This is about God worth. Man, you know, what am I worth to God? I'm worth the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I'm worth the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. I'm worth being a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm worth being his workmanship. Created for good works, he's ordained me to walk in as his workmanship. There's an adjustment as a child of God that we have to say, what does all this mean? I'm loved by God. I can let all bitterness, wrath, I'm talking about self now. Let all the self-bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor be put away from me. And I have permission to love me again too. Because God loves me. I'm loved by God. No matter who judges me, however, if I don't fit the ilk or pedigree or whatever spiritually to other people or however they may look at me, it means nothing. He loves me. And I see myself the way He sees me. There's a God worth that He has for me. I'm talking as a child of God now. I forgive myself. I release myself. And I believe God's love for me today. There's nothing I could do to get in the kingdom, to call on His name. That sin that was separating me from God, same stuff the way it is today, all I can do is just say, I'm thankful, Lord, that it didn't stop just at the cross, but there's a whole throne of grace as a believer I can come before and have that same experience of love and cleansing and forgiving and wholeness and restoration, not just so that I'm forgiven, but that I can forgive and release and let go of stuff too and not hold it against myself and see myself as clean, forgiven, restored as a child of God, letting it all go. Finally, not only were you loved as a sinner and you are loved as a child of God, but you're loved forever. You know, love is everything. Love is totally, totally everything. You know, if you had everything but you didn't have love, you'd have nothing. You know, the old Beatles song, "All You Need Is Love." Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can do that can't be done. Da 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 da. There's a real element of truth there. God is love. You know, all you need is God. All you need is Jesus. And you gotta interpret that theologically correct. All you need is the Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. All you need is Jesus. All you need is God. All you need is His love. It's everything. And the cool thing about this is that God's love isn't just it's not just like some coping mechanism to get me through here now. This is a taste of eternity. But God, who's rich in His mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show us the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Praise God. This is just the beginning. This is the beginning of something wonderful. We're perceiving it. Even as we praise and worship God, we can kind of get into those places of corporate worship where we're sensing and perceiving. And, you know, our faith is going to become sight at one of these points, but Jesus told the woman at the well, Samaritan woman, that, the time is coming when true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. That's today, where we're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And there's a certain resonance of heaven that we even get hooked up with as we're worshiping in spirit and truth. We can just sense that the worship and the truth of heaven and getting hooked up even when we're down here to sense the presence of God and His glory. And so what are we seeing here? In the ages to come, He's going to show us the exceeding riches of His grace in everything. What that all means, you know, it's going to be kind of hard to fully grasp, to fully wrap our mind around everything, what that means. Although we do have some pretty amazing glimpses. I'll tell you, one of the things that we see is that, what I think of is, you know, do you have any why God questions right now? Things that you might wonder about. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? One of the things that we're going to experience is that the Bible says that we know in part. We prophesy in part. We only know in part. But there's coming a day when we will know even as we're fully known. That's pretty cool. And you know, Satan, since the garden, has been framing God in a negative light. And a lot of our why God questions and things that we have, it just seems like, how could that be? There's coming a day when we're going to know some things and we're going to see things from the perfect, pure perspective. We're going to see clearly. You know, the picture the Lord gave me that kind of helped me sometimes, you know, and I just kind of bring this out just as we're, you know, getting ready. We're gonna experience this love of God forever. But there's times when you're down here right now, and sometimes something can happen down here, and you can think, man, I don't know. I can't explain that. God looks like the bad guy here. You know, why didn't God prevent that? Why didn't God stop that? Why didn't God? Why didn't God? Why didn't God? And God just tells us right now by faith to know that even though we know in part, to trust him, to believe him, to know he's doing the right thing. The picture that I got in my spirit one time about this struggle, because I had this. I've had these events happen in my life. I think, wow, how could that happen, God? That just doesn't make any sense. And the picture that I got in my spirit was just that of a mom in a grocery store with a grocery cart and her little toddler, maybe 1 or 2 year old toddler, and that toddler seeing another person in the grocery store that maybe didn't look just exactly like them, and just blurting something out and pointing at that person out loud with their question to mommy. Mommy, why is that person dotted, you know, whatever. And the mommy says just almost instinctively, shh, honey, please, I'll tell you what. As soon as we get home, I'll talk to you about that. I'll tell you why that is, okay? Just, but to kind of calm an embarrassing situation. And what I saw in that picture, because I've seen that, I've probably been there. I mean, I've been with kids or seen it. But I know that instinctively from that little scene, that a parent has the ability to satisfy a child's curiosity as long as they know that mommy or daddy will talk to them about it when they get home. It's like, it's okay. When we get home, I'll tell you about that, okay? Okay, but we'll talk about it. Okay. And that picture that I just kind of saw in my mind was what the Lord communicated to me. He said, Ed, there's stuff going on down here that may make you not trust loving me with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Still love me with all your soul, heart, mind, strength, even no matter how things look down here. You only know in part. And there's some things that you'll find out while you're down here, but there's some things you're going to find out when you get home. But right now, we've got the promise that when we get home, we're going to know. Right now, he says, I know in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. I'm going to know. I'm going to have answers to my questions. In the meantime, though, I can trust he's good. In the meantime, I can love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, because he is good and he is right. In the ages to come, he's going to show us the exceeding riches of his grace. And when we get to heaven and we know things that we don't know and we see everything from his perspective, there's going to be a whole lot of, oh, okay, yeah, well, oh, well, sure. But our natural eyes just aren't big enough to have the big picture that he has. And in the middle of all that, oh, yeah, sure, there will be no violation of his holiness or his righteousness or who he is. We just don't see it all. We see through a glass darkly right now. But then we'll see face to face. But while we're seeing through a glass darkly, we're giving him the benefit of the doubt. He's good. He's the one who came, saved us, died for us. And in the ages to come, that's one of the things that we're going to see. We're going to have our eyes enlightened. Not only that, but the scripture says, in whom having not seen, you love, though you haven't seen him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I've always loved that verse. I thought, wow, what a beautiful verse to capture this invisible relationship with God. We started this whole thing out by Jesus' invisible relationship with the Father, and we've got the same invisible relationship expressed full of glory. I consider the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. Amplified, I consider the sufferings of this present time, present life, not worthy to be worth being compared with the glory that's about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred upon us. That's quite a contrast. Apostle Paul says, in other words, the stuff that we're going through down here, not even worthy to be compared with the amazing glory that's about to happen to him. What are we saying now? We're going to be loved forever. This is not a temporary setup, a temporary arrangement, or a coping mechanism for the here and now, but there's a love that we're going to experience. In fact, the way that I've kind of had this in my spirit too, I think heaven, as glorious as it will be, as brilliant as it will be, I think one of the glories of heaven that's going to make it so exciting is that it's going to be gloriously familiar. I love in 1 Corinthians, it says, you know, it's the same Spirit. There's a lot of different ministrations of the Spirit, but it's the same Spirit. It's the Spirit of truth. And all of a sudden, the person I've been perceiving all these years, I'm going to see face to face. But it's the same Spirit. Same Holy Spirit that you perceive who lives on the inside of you will be the same Holy Spirit you experience in the glory. It'll be amazingly familiar. You're going to know that, yes, praise God, this is the same one, same Holy Spirit, same one I've been perceiving all these years. Finally, Revelation 5:8 says, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you are slain. You've redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, this is a pretty amazing song, a new song they're singing. Worthy to take the scroll, open its seals. That's, of course, the book of Revelation, the judgments. But it's talking about you've redeemed us to God by your blood. This is the cool thing about it. When I say you're loved forever, right now we're living on this side of heaven, but when your spirit, when you die or when Jesus comes back, whichever happens first, you know, whether you're changed incorruptible on his return or whether you die and your spirit goes to be with Christ, the revelation of your redemption will come into its fullness. You know, right now we know it. We know it. We got the witness of the Spirit. But think about that. You're in glory. You're in amazing glory. And you know you're only there because of Jesus Christ. And that song, you're worthy to take the scroll. You've redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Made us kings and priests to our God. And we shall reign on the earth. Praise God. You're loved by God forever. This is something that is going on forever and ever and ever. In other words, there is going to be this, even on earth, like we said, the thing that we realize that makes anything mean anything is when you know you're loved. And that's really, again, the message this morning is you are loved. You were loved as a sinner. You're loved as a child of God, and you're going to be loved forever. The cool thing about heaven isn't the glitz, it's the fact that you're in a place where you're loved. You're known and you're loved. That's what heaven is going to be, where you're loved and where there is relationship, where you have the love of the saints, every tribe, tongue, people, kindred, nation, but you're loved by God forever. That in the ages to come, he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So, simple message this morning. You're loved by God. You are loved. We're loved as a sinner. Our love as a child. Loved forever. And I guess I just felt just the sense to just get stirred up in that. Maybe it's just kind of an indirect returning to your first love. But be stirred up this morning and know that right now, where you are at this moment, not one more thing to do. You're completely and totally loved by God. And if we can just stop there, rest there, and just let the Spirit of God minister to us right there, praise God. That will be everything in helping us to go forward. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for just the truth of your word, for the truth of your love, that you do love us, that you're for us, that you're with us. And Father, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you'll help each one of us to see, to know, and to again just believe the love that you have for us, Lord. That there's something powerful about just acknowledging and believing that love. That there's a certain ministry of the Spirit of God to our hearts that strengthen us right now to go forward, to have the grace to forgive, to have the grace to love, to have the grace to do what you've called us to do, but to do it knowing that right now we are already loved by you. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith. If your heart can agree with these words, say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. I believe it. I receive it. I am loved right now by you, and I thank you for it. I forgive and release all self-hatred, self-bitterness, self-wrath. I receive that love, that cleansing, that forgiveness. If you forgive me, then I'm forgiven. If you cleanse me, I'm cleansed. I don't hold it against me. I receive your love. I love you. I love me because of what you've done. You love me. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, again, just be encouraged this morning. You're loved by God today. Nothing more you can do. You know, when you received him as a sinner, as an unbeliever, all you could do is call upon his name for his love. It's the same way it is today as believers. All we can do is come boldly before that throne of grace. Come boldly before that throne of grace and remember we've been forgiven the $1 million debt, and just find that mercy and grace to help in his presence. Amen. Praise God.